So if you were here last week, whether in person or online, you may remember that Pastor Andy did something a little bit unique, a little bit different, a little interactive in the sermon last week. So he encouraged everyone to text in responses during the sermon. So just to give you guys a heads up, I will be including that in my sermon as well. It's going to come later toward the end. But for those of you who have the number maybe saved, I just wanted to give you a heads up. Be on the lookout for that. It is coming out. So as a lot of you all know, I have an almost 2-year-old at home, and his name is Wyatt. And so my little Wyatt loves Sesame Street, loves Sesame Street. So you can see there's a picture of him and all his toys, and there are two Elmos. Like, those two Elmos, both of them had to go to Walmart with us last night. Like, this is the level of obsession we have with Sesame Street. But of course, of all the TV shows that he could choose to fall in love with, I'm actually really glad he chose Sesame Street. Because Sesame Street does teach him some things like his ABCs and his 1-2-3s, but it also has a lot of really good values. So at the end of every Sesame Street episode, every single little one, I looked this up since season 45 in 2015, it ends with this little song called Smarter, Stronger, Kinder. And so I think, yeah, we have, like, this is the little still from the, you know, video at the end. But here's how the song goes. Come on and move your body and use your mind, 'cause you know you're growing all the time. You're getting smarter, stronger, kinder on Sesame Street. Kind at home and when you play, try some sharing and caring every day. You're getting smarter, stronger, kinder on Sesame Street. Yeah. Thank you, guys. So can you tell? Oh, no. But can you tell? Can you tell that I have heard that song a lot? Right? So yes, it's a catchy little earworm of a song, but I love that that's at the end of every single episode, and it's really showing what the value of this show is. Kids all around the world, Sesame Street's all around the world, are being told every single time they watch this show, they're being reminded to be kind. And so this is something that's really familiar with us, no matter what sort of brand of children's television you either grew up with or your kids or grandkids watch, you know that kindness is peppered through there. But when we condense kindness down to something like a 30-second song at the end of Sesame Street, it can seem so easy and simple. I feel like a lot of times kindness is the main point of preschool 101 for our kids. Kindness is clearly listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is our theme verse for this sermon series. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. So we know. We know that kindness is the way to go. We have been preached and we have been taught to be kind both inside and outside of the church from the time when we were really little. But when we look around and we see our world, we know it's not always kind. In this time of COVID-19, we have seen it bring out the best in people, of course, but we have also seen it bring out the worst in people. We have seen and we have experienced unkindness from those around us. We have seen and experienced the heaviness and the darkness that can come with life. And if we're honest, we take it a little bit deeper, we can admit that we are not always as kind as we should be as well. So what's the answer? What hope do we have? We know as Christians, the answer shouldn't just be to be ho-hum about the unkindness of the world or our own tendencies to be unkind. Scripture clearly tells us in Ephesians, put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting and slander, along with every other kind of evil. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving to each other in the same way God forgave you in Christ. So, we know what we should do, but we know that doing it is not always easy. We know we want the way we want the world to be, but it sometimes contrasts so strongly with the world as it actually is. We know in this day and time, we have to balance how much we're going to watch of the news, right? We know we need to do just enough to be informed, but if we stay there in the conflict and the unkindness and the darkness too long, it can just be depressing. But I found some comfort and inspiration for us this week in an interesting place, the book of Zechariah. So it's entirely likely that you haven't heard a lot of sermons on Zechariah. It's a minor prophet tucked at the end of the Old Testament book. And so the book of Zechariah details the story of this guy, named Zechariah, of course, who felt called by God to tell the nation of Israel these messages from God. And so these messages were delivered at a time when the nation of Israel had just come back from a long period of exile. And so these people were returning to their land, but they were returning to a broken land. And they were returning to a land with a broken temple. And they were wondering, would things ever be the same again? And so as far as Zechariah goes, if you go home and you read the whole book, you're going to find it a little strange, to be honest. So chapters 1-6, they detail in this great length these strange dreams and visions that Zechariah had. They're filled with a lot of imagery and a lot of symbolism that would get lost on us today. But I'll condense it down to this. It all had a very important message for the Israelites. So if you listen and you follow God, the land will prosper. If you don't listen and you don't follow God, the land will fall into ruin. And so that is the stage for our scripture passage today. Zechariah is wrapping up all this talk of dreams and visions, and he's giving a final summary and charge. I'll be reading Zechariah chapter 7, starting in verse 8 in the Common English Bible version. The Lord's word came to Zechariah. The Lord of heavenly forces proclaims, make just and faithful decisions. Show kindness and compassion to each other. Don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and the poor. Don't plan evil against each other. But they refused to pay attention. They turned a cold shoulder and stopped listening. They steeled their hearts against the hearing, the instruction that the words of heavenly forces sent by his spirit through the earlier prophets. As a result, the Lord of heavenly forces became enraged. So just as he called and they didn't listen, when they called, I didn't listen, says the Lord of heavenly forces. I scattered them throughout the nations which they did not know. The land was devastated behind them, with no one leaving or returning. They turned a delightful land into a wasteland. So I know this isn't the most encouraging and uplifting scripture passage for us to start with, but we have to remember that this was Zechariah's warning. This was this reminder of the whole reason they had been in exile in the first place. It was because they did not follow God. They did not show kindness or compassion to one another. They oppressed the widow and the stranger and the poor. They planned evil against one another. They let their homeland fall into ruin, and so they were driven away from it. But now, they have returned. They were given this second chance. So, in that second chance, they were reminded first and foremost of this simple charge again. Be kind. Have compassion. Show kindness, not oppression, to the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the stranger. Show kindness, not evil, to one another. Do this, and the land will prosper. Follow God in this way, and the land will prosper. And so I feel like, at this point, after the 18-some-odd months we have all been through together, we can relate to this passage more than we would have before. We know what it's like to have our normal lives ripped from us pretty much overnight. We know what it's like to be exiled from everything that was familiar to us. And we know what it's like to return to a land that is still broken and is still hurting. And we know what it's like to desperately want things to go back the way they were, to want the land to prosper again, but we just don't know how. And so in Zechariah's dreams and visions and speeches, he keeps talking about this coming of a Messiah. And so we as Christians, we look at these passages and say, well, he's talking about Jesus. And he's talking about the kingdom of God that Jesus preached on when he was here. The idea that Jesus came to teach us a better way to live, a way people around the world could all live in harmony with one another, a way to begin to redeem our land, and a way to partner with him to bring bits and pieces of the kingdom here on earth. And so Zechariah reminded us that a key tenet of that promise, a key tenet of how we be the people of the kingdom of God here on earth, a key tenet of how we help heal that land and make it prosper, that is to be kind. Kindness, simple kindness is the first thing that Zechariah says about how we should act towards others if we want to heal the land and make it prosper. Kindness isn't just a cute Sesame Street idea. It's a necessary commandment. It's a necessary commandment to heal our land, to help restore our world, and to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. So we know the world has this heaviness, this darkness, this unkindness. But what if? What if we believe that acts of kindness could change that? Zechariah, he tells us that we can. Zechariah reminds us that if we show kindness to others in the world around us, our land will prosper. Our community, our city, our world, it could be a better place. Those acts of kindness done in the name of Christ can help redeem a hurting world. Because just imagine what the world would look like if we all practiced more intentional kindness. How would our land be redeemed if we followed God's commandment as outlined in Zechariah? So that is going to be our challenge and our charge for all of us this week. Do 7 intentional acts of kindness this week. And so know that this isn't just a charge for this service. This is a charge across all of our worship services here today. Because just take a moment for me and think about the math. I'm going to be optimistic and say between in-person and online, we have about 1,500 people here each week. And so if each of us, all 1,500 of us, were to do 7 acts of kindness this week, do you know how many acts of kindness that would be in our community for the week? It'd be over 10,000. Over 10,000 acts of kindness done in the name of Jesus Christ in our community alone. So just imagine what that would do. Imagine how many people could feel the love of God because of ordinary people like you and me doing acts of kindness this week. And so this is where that fun interactive element comes in. So for those of you here, and whether you're here online, I'd like you to text in your ideas for random acts of kindness. So the number is up on the screen. I'll say it as well. 863-880-1112. So here's my idea. So during the rest of my sermon, as we go into communion together, I want you to text in those ideas of kindness. And so I'm going to read a few during our benediction. So basically know this, in person, online, I'm counting on you all to write the benediction. But I'm excited to see what you're going to say and how our community is going to experience kindness this week. So I did want to share, as you are texting those things in, my own little sighting of kindness that I saw this week. So I'm a runner. So that means that I have been watching stories coming out of the Boston Marathon all week. And so as many of us remember, back in 2013, on April 15th, there was a terrorist attack at that Boston Marathon. So two men planted a bomb and ended up killing three people and injuring hundreds. It was a painful tragedy. I remember I wasn't even into running at that time, and I still remember how sad I was to hear about that. And so put on top of that past event in 2013, we have 2020. Everything that happened in 2020, including postponing the Boston Marathon for that year. And so because of the world's continued struggle with the pandemic, those runners had to be exiled from that race for a year and a half. But this past Monday, on October 11th, these runners got to return from their exile. And so I'm sure even with that excitement, the race was also tainted with a lot of heaviness this year. I'm sure every year there's a certain amount of heaviness from what happened in 2013. I'm also sure people came in there with the heaviness of our continued struggle with this pandemic. Heaviness for the state of our world, our divisions, and our struggle to really just live in peace with one another. But even in the midst of all that heaviness, even in the midst of all those things playing on in the background, the Boston Marathon had so many incidents of kindness this week. And so I have a few photos to share from Channel 4 WBZ in Boston. So this one is of Chaz Davis. He was the winner of the Vision Impairment Division for Men of the Boston Marathon. So what's exciting about this is the first year, not just vision impairment, but the first year the Boston Marathon has decided to have a category for people with different disabilities as a way to recognize and celebrate the hard work of these athletes. An incredible act of kindness for these people to celebrate their accomplishments. And so not only that, since Chaz is blind, he is also posing there with his guide, who ran with him, encouraged him for all 26.2 miles. No easy feat. And so then I saw another photo that this one was near and dear to my heart personally. So there was a woman who had her legs give out during the marathon. So this happened to me temporarily during my first marathon. You get leg cramps and sometimes you just can't move. But what did these three women do? These three women saw this person struggling near the finish line and decided to pick her up and carry her the rest of the way, almost the rest of the way. And so what I think is so amazing about this is we don't know the stories of those other three women. Think about it. They could have been going for their personal record. They could have even been going for a placement in their age division, but they stopped instead and they carried this woman toward the finish line. So what's amazing to me, at least, about these incredible snapshots of kindness is where they took place. These pictures were taken near the finish line of the Boston Marathon, right in the shadow of where that tragedy happened in 2013. They also happened right on the heels of us coming out of this wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, in the midst of our world, which is still hurting and unkind and experiencing darkness. But these acts of kindness served as beacons of light. These acts of kindness, they helped to restore that land. They helped to bring healing after a year of exile and that legacy of pain and hurt. So what will you do? How will you rise to the challenge? How will you do seven acts of kindness in Jesus' name in our community this week? How will you spread the love of God to that simple yet powerful action of being kind? I can't wait to hear what you have to say. And I can't wait to see how God is going to use ordinary people like you and me to share God's love to this community this week. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the words of Zechariah this week. We thank you for this reminder that kindness does matter, that kindness does make a difference. May you be with us, and may you be with the people who we meet in our acts of kindness this week. May you use these simple acts to show your love and your light to a world that desperately needs it. Amen. And so I asked you guys to text in and write the benediction, and boy, did you guys deliver. I got more responses than I can share, but tons of great ideas, and I'm excited to see how God is going to use this week. Some of the ideas were, give a stranger a compliment, check in on someone you care about but haven't talked to in a while, buy the coffee or the food for someone in the drive-through line behind you, volunteer with a homeless shelter, and there's just so many more. We know that there's a heaviness in the world. There's that darkness, there's that unkindness, but we can make a difference. We can tip the scales toward light. So I invite you to hear this benediction and go. Go to do those 7 acts and tip the scales for kindness and light in our world. Amen.